24 again tonight. Matthew 24. Verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I pray for the filling of your spirit as I preach and teach the word of God to the church tonight. And I thank you, dear God, for your blessings on us today. We've been able to meet in thy house already. I thank you for the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour, the worship service, those working in the nursery, all the work that goes on, the bulletins, and the sound, and the music, and the prayer sheets, dear God, and just the cleaning of the church, just everything, the song leading, the piano playing today, and special music. Thank you, dear God, and the interpreting, and pray for my dear wife in the nursery tonight, fill her with your spirit, and help her there, God. Once again, we need you to speak to our hearts and lives, and help us as we study the Word of God tonight, and help us to be grounded in it and to have an understanding, even regarding the difficult things, dear God, in your Word, that we would be faithful stewards, not ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. And give us understanding and help us in these things, we pray tonight, and we ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Amen. This time we have Benjamin's going to do a special for us. And what's that song you're going to play for us, Mr. Ben? Nearer My God to Thee. Amen. Right. Nearer My God to Thee. That's what we need, isn't it? Just to be nearer to Him. All right. Well, we're looking at studying on Sunday night some of the verses which some use to say that you can lose your salvation. And so we're going to be studying some of these out. I went through a portion of this like greased lightning last week, I think. And I think a lot of it didn't stick just because of the reason that as quickly as I went through it. I want to approach a little bit more slowly tonight. And the things that we looked at here in Matthew 24, we read that verse, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And we did look at the context to find out, well, what is that end that he is talking about? And we saw that he is talking about that in Matthew 24. He says, in verse 3, they're sitting upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of what? The end of the world. So he's talking about the end of the world, or the end of the age there. The enduring unto the end is the end of the age, not the end of someone's life, okay? That's what he's talking about in the context there. Now, the end of the age, what is that? What is the end of the world? Well, we see in the Bible dispensations. Some people would disagree with us, but they have the right to do that. But we would see some dispensations. I believe we're living in the dispensation of grace right now, or the dispensation of the church. And by the way, this could be considered, dispensation could be considered the end of the age in that sense. The Apostle John, writing about that, said, as he noted that there were many antichrists around, many people in his time with the spirit of antichrist, he says, for even now it is the last time. Hebrews says that Christ has appeared to us in the end. In Hebrews, in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. So, in that sense, since the church age came, we're in the last days. We're in the last the last dispensation before the millennium. The millennium is the seventh dispensation. There's one left. We're through five dispensations. We're in dispensation number six, and the millennium is after this world is done with as we know it. The millennium is a whole dispensation that really comes after this age and after this world. So in that sense, we're in that. But also we know that included in the end time is the tribulation period. That's the judgment that follows what? The dispensation of the church. Every dispensation, man fails to complete all the responsibilities given to him by God. And every dispensation, we see God's mercy, but also God's judgment. Well, God's judgment for man not receiving the gospel during the church age is the tribulation period. And that's God's judgment there. God's mercy, there's folks saved even during the tribulation period. And also God takes the church out before the tribulation period. So we see that. We see some things that are associated with the end of the age. Some would look at Matthew 24, and they would tell you, as I mentioned, that Matthew 24 has already been fulfilled. They would say that Matthew 24 was fulfilled when Jerusalem was destroyed. All that Jesus is talking about there has to do right up to the time where Jerusalem was destroyed. We believe that it is yet future. Some things that we see in the Bible as we look at the end times. We're going to look at some passages and look for these things. Now, if you want to note the chapter as we go through it, that would be profitable for you in your own studies. Because when we're done tonight, you can consider these passages and say, oh, I see that preacher. Or you can consider these passages and say, I don't see that preacher. And that's fine, okay? We're talking about prophecy, okay? So you have to discern, if you believe that we're on the right track here. If you're in agreement with that. And I'm telling you what I've seen through studying the Word and obviously many others regarding the end times. Some of those things that we'll see looking through these passages are the scattering and regathering of Israel, especially the remnant that believe. We'll see the suffering of Israel in a great way. We'll see the great deliverance of Israel. Even to the point of all Israel being saved, some passages say. We'll see Israel protected during the tribulation period. We'll see Jerusalem again inhabited. We'll see the nations gathering together against Israel. We'll see God, great wars, great battles. We'll see all these things. We'll see in the millennium, the end of the age, we'll see blessings upon the earth as we consider these passages and looking through them. Any one of these passages, I probably would not come to all those conclusions. Any one of them, I would say, could go many ways. Some look at these passages and say, well, they're just talking about some war that we know nothing about in history. There's some details there that something happened there that we just know nothing about. We don't know that's future. It's something that already happened. Any one of these passages, I would not draw those conclusions. But consider all of them. And I think I'll start with Revelation chapter 12. And here, I believe it's future talking. And it gives us a broad view of what God is doing with Israel. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Who's that? That's Israel. Remember, Joseph had a dream? And the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed unto him. Of course, he would be the 12th star, the 12th son of Joseph. And so that we equate that with Israel. And she, that's Israel, being with child, cried travailing in birth. What's that? Great persecution on Israel. Great suffering upon Israel. And pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Of course, that's the devil, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Of course, that's the Christ. And she brought forth a man-child, that would be Jesus Christ, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. What do we believe that is? The millennium. And her child, that's Christ, was caught up unto God and to his throne. Where is he at right now? Right there, isn't he? He was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. You'll see this throughout the prophecies. Fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Protection. And there was in heaven Michael. Michael. And the angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. So some things we see about that. Christ ruling, Israel greatly persecuted, Israel carried away in the wilderness and being fed for 3.5 years. All these things we see just there in Revelation 12, speaking of Israel. Now we're going to back up, go through some prophecies, and we're going to see some of these things throughout the scriptures. Jeremiah 30. In verse 1. Going nice and slow. Jeremiah 30. In verse 1. Let's see here. Helps if I turn just one page at a time. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, write all these words," he says. Verse 3, "For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." These are the words the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace," great persecution on Israel. "Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child," Israel's pain being likened to childbirth. You'll see that through the prophecies. "Wherein do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it." A matchless time of persecution. We'll see that repeated here in Matthew 24. None is like it. He says, "It is even the time of" what? "Jacob's trouble." It is specified to Jacob or Israel. We'll see it specified to Israel throughout several prophecies. This is one of them right here. "But he shall be saved out of it." Protection for Israel through that. We saw that in Revelation, didn't we? He was taken into the wilderness and fed for 3.5 years, sheltered. So we see Jeremiah repeating these same truths here before we have the prophecy of Revelation. And he goes on then, talks about the dominion of Israel. Verse 8, "It shall come to pass that in that day, saith the Lord," of course the last day, last age, "Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." That's prophetic of Christ. And so he talks about the exaltation of Israel, what he's going to do with them in the future. He says, goes on to say in verse 11, "Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Then he goes on to condemn them for their current sins and talk about their current judgments. So we see some of those things we talked about in Jeremiah 30. Look at Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. And actually the whole chapter of Jeremiah 33 talks about these future things. But Jeremiah 33:1, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was shut up in prison. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Israel is going away into captivity of Babylon. You think I can't bring them back? God says, you watch me. Watch what I have planned to do. And he goes on, he says, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the house of this city, concerning the house of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down. He says, they come to fight with the Chaldeans, and they fill them with dead bodies. But he says all that there, all that's going on there. He says, look at verse 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. What's that? Millennium. Peace and truth. By the way, has Israel had any abundance of peace and truth since the Babylonian captivity? No. That hasn't been fulfilled at any time since the Babylonian captivity. The abundance of peace and truth, that is yet to come. Millennium. So he says all that. By the way, verse 8, and I will cleanse from them what? All their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be a name, a joy, and a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. That's God blessing Israel, the land of Israel, when he calls them back in. And So he says, well, how he's going to bless that place. Verse 11, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. He goes on there. He says, end of verse 11, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. He goes on there, and that place is going to be blessed. He says, all the blessings he's going to pour upon it. And look at verse, look at verse 15, Jeremiah 33. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch, who's that? Jesus Christ, the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Has that happened yet? No, it has not. And this is the name whereof with she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's coming. That is yet to come. And so we see that. All right. Ezekiel 39:1. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 39:1. Therefore, thou son of man, he says, prophesy against Gog and say, he talks about this future war. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, he says, gives some names there that are given to the area there, Turkey and such, the area around there where we believe future wars will come from. I'll turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, will cause thee to come up from the north parts, he says. I'll smite the bow out of thy left hand, it will cause thine arrows to fall thy right hand. He says, verse 4, thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort. I think this is Armageddon he's speaking of here. And to the beasts and to the fields to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. What does Jesus say in Matthew 24? Wheresoever the carcass is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. That's what he's talking about, that great battle of Armageddon. Here he talks about that. Carcass is given to the ravenous birds. Verse 7, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. Has that happened yet? No. Israel, as far as their belief goes, is one of the most ungodly places in the world today. You know they don't favor Christianity? You know, they don't believe in the Old Testament God of the Bible. Did you know that? Did you know Israel is, I'm just telling you the truth, they're secular. And they're ungodly in their faith. They haven't honored the God of the Bible since the Babylonian captivity, and they still don't. There were some revivals during Ezra and Nehemiah's time, I know that. But Malachi, they ended up back where they were in rebellion, and God says, you're going to better change, and the Old Testament ends before I bring a curse upon you. They haven't come back to God yet. They will. They will. So he talks about that. Talks about them burning the weapons in verse 9 there of the warfare and in the battles, as that goes on about that. Then see here, look at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 2:2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house. Now, mountain, you study in your Bible, many times means what? We've talked about here government. It talks about the Mount of Judah, the Mount of Ephraim, you know, the Mount of Benjamin, whatever. It talks about government. And it shall come to pass, he says in Isaiah 2, in the last days, that what? The mountain of the house of the Lord, or the government of the house of the Lord, shall be established in the top of the mountains. That makes sense. In Jerusalem there, and shall be exalted above the hills, above all governments and nations. He says, and all nations shall flow into it. Has that happened yet? No. Many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Millennium. That hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. He shall judge among the nations. He shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. No, that hasn't happened yet. That is millennium. Okay, so we see all these aspects of the last times, and God working these things. Matthew 24, speaking of the last times. Look at Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Verse 14, verse 1, the day of the Lord cometh. Thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Has that happened yet? No. And the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So there's some left in the city, and some of them go into captivity. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight for those nations, as when he fought in the battle. Look at verse 4. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives, listen to this. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. So the Mount of Olives there, that portion runs north and south, and it's going to cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And it's going to make a valley there. He says, there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. So the valley runs east and west. Part of the mountain moves toward the north, part toward the south. The valley runs to the east and west. That valley that he cleaves there. And he says,
And ye, and look at this, verse 5. Ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. Israel was supposed to what? Go away into the wilderness and be kept for 3.5 years. Ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And so it talks about that great day. There's them again fleeing through a valley the Lord makes when he parts those mountains there. Look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, see around verse 15 here. Isaiah, thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. What's that? God bringing Israel back together. Read closely. Thou hast. He's speaking prophetically of what God has done in his future vision. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hadst, H-A-D-S-T, in the past, thou hadst removed it far unto the ends of the earth. They had been scattered throughout all the earth, but what did he do in the end time? He brings them back together. The prophecy shows him bringing them back together. And he says, Lord, in trouble, there is the trouble. Had they visited thee, they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon thee. Look at verse 17. Like as a woman with child, there it is again, draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. And they're going to be greatly persecuted Israel. Last time, look at verse 18, we have been with child, we have been in pain, as it were, brought forth wind. It's like a woman trying to give birth but can't. The great persecutions upon Israel. And look at verse 19. Thy dead men shall live. What's that? Resurrection. That's resurrection. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That's resurrection. That's last days times, folks. But and look at verse 20. Come, my people. God's talking to who? Israel. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers. What chambers? The chambers he prayed for him in the valley, in the wilderness, for that 3.5 years. Enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Until the rest of that tribulation is done, I'll hide you in that place in the wilderness I prepared for you. I've divided that mountain. I've set that valley. You have fled into that valley. Hide there. I'm going to deal with you in that valley. Bring you out. You see it all through those Old Testament prophecies. Israel, God working these things with Israel and saving them through the tribulation in that sense. And an interesting thing to note also is the angel Michael, the archangel Michael, and his relation to Israel and where he appears. Look at Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. Daniel chapter 10. See, some I'm giving you all this to tell you this. Some people would just say, oh well, the church is Israel now. God's all done with Israel. And we got a whole lot that says differently, folks. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. we're considering Michael now for a moment. Daniel 10, 13. Daniel, of course, is praying. He realizes that the Babylonian captivity is near to the end. God is showing him some future things. Daniel 10, 13. He's being showed some things by an angel now. And this angel is explaining some things to him. He says, Daniel had been praying, and the angel comes to answer Daniel's prayer. But the angel was held up for a while, and the angel says to Daniel in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom, he says, I started to come as soon as you started to pray, Daniel. And then in verse 13, he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. So there was some kind of a spiritual battle there took place. He was held up. But lo, what's the word say? Who is it? Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, wait a minute. One of the chief princes. So this one is these princes talk about is Michael. Now, is Michael a world leader? Or is he an angel? He's an angel. So I think when the Bible talks about princes here, Michael's one of the chief princes. It's talking not talking about world leaders, but about angels that are somehow associated with world leaders. He says, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So we got Michael there is one of the chief princes. All right. Now look at Daniel chapter 10 and verse 21. Daniel 10 and verse 21. This angel says he's going to go take care of business like he's been told to of God and continue to work. And he says in verse 21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scriptures of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, what's he say? Your prince. Michael, your prince, Daniel. Michael is the angel associated with who? Israel. With Israel. He's your prince. You know, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. There was an angel associated with Persia. I fought against him. Michael, your angel, what? The angel associated with Israel came and helped me. And then he says, that's the one, Michael, your prince is the one that stood with me. Now look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Talking about the last times, okay? What's it say? And at that time shall, who? Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Who's he talking to? Daniel and Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Who's the great trouble? What's the great trouble? That's Jacob's trouble. The Antichrist is going to be attacking all nations. Israel is going to be hated of all nations for God's for Christ's name's sake. That's what's going to happen in the end time. And Michael's going to stand up. Why? Because Israel's being attacked. Michael comes into play again. He's going to stand. There should be a time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, such as there never was. Matthew 24 talks about that, nor ever shall be. But and he says, at that time what? Thy people shall be delivered. How? All the ones, the remnant that obeys the command and flees into the valley and finds that protection and that actually the purging of God during that time. You'll see that. We saw Michael there. Look at look there back now in Revelation 12 and verse 7. I'm going to wind it down here. Revelation 12, 7. We won't get much farther in this little study tonight. Revelation 12. We saw Israel in verse 1. That's the woman with the sun and the moon and under her feet and upon her head the 12 stars that we from Genesis and such and Joseph's dreams we associate that with Israel. And then he talks about the woman being taken into the wilderness there in verse 6. That's Israel. Then verse 7, and there was war in heaven, and whose name? Michael. And his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels then prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And so we see Michael standing out there. Michael associated this archangel that is associated somehow with the ministry of the nation of Israel. All that to say this, there's definitely a tribulation time associated with Israel that hasn't come yet. There's definitely an exaltation time associated with Israel that hasn't come yet. And we find that fitting in Matthew chapter 24. Let's go back there, Matthew 24. Matthew 24 verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, we'll speak about that some, shortly, not tonight, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let them understand. What's it say? Then let them which be where? In Judea. Why does he say Judea? Because he's dealing with Israel. He's really not focused upon the rest of the world right now. He's telling Israel what to do. Then let them which be with Judea, what? Flee into where? The mountains. The place he's talked about all through the prophecies. The place he's prepared for them to be during that time. Again, any one of these things, I'd say, not real sure about that. But when you find the same things, you know, the mountains fleeing, being protected, the valley, you know, in Isaiah, in Zechariah, in Ezekiel, repeated again in Matthew, repeated in Revelation chapter 12. I add it all up. It seems to me God's telling us something. And God is showing us some things. Daniel chapter 9 is one of the best outlines for the future you'll probably find. I think the best outline for the future you'll find in the Bible. It is the key to the future. It is the key to knowing the book of Revelation. It is the key to knowing eschatology or the order of things to come. And we'll look at some more on those things. So there is a tribulation time. There is a time of blessing upon Israel as described in the Bible, which obviously has never happened yet. And for somebody to say, well, it was all fulfilled by the fall of Jerusalem. They haven't read the prophecies. They haven't read what God said. A lot of those things have yet to come to pass, and we look for those. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, the disciples were asking about that time of the end of the age. And Jesus was telling them and giving them specific instruction what people need to do during that time that will surely come. And they were your people, where they'll be at on the earth, what will be going on. And you gave them in specific instructions that were also given by the prophets of old. And Father, those who follow them will be under thy blessed hand during that time. Those who do not will miss out on the blessings that come from that obedience there and from the blessings that you described there. And Father, we just pray that you'd help us to know that these things, sometimes that people just pull a verse out and try to prove a doctrine with it, they're actually many times a much deeper thing. They have taken some things that are hard to be understood, and they have twisted them and made them to fit their doctrine. And God, when it's not what your word is teaching, some things are hard to be understood. Some things do require that we consider the whole scripture and consider what you have said about it in so many different places, and we have to be diligent to study. And I pray you'd help us in that, Father, that we may be wise, and that we may in grace and truth speak the truth in love and be able to help those who are being confused by those who are missing your word, who are not rightly dividing the word, and coming up with things that God just don't inform people of your word. and don't help us to be the those that know what we ought to do in the times as we should. So, Father, we just pray. We thank you for the study. I pray it's been helpful. And, God, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.